All right, welcome to KZFR 90.1 FM, People Powered Radio. Hey, it's my distinct pleasure, man. This is our third without a, I would say without a roof. I've done that 100 times. This is Youth for Justice. This is First Thursdays, 6 to 7 p.m., and it's my distinct pleasure. I have a co-host in here with me that used to, she's from the old days, from the Teen Talk days, Alex Kokonakis.
Oh, well, boy. Hi there, Radio Land.
I know I didn't do a good enough intro, Alex. Tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, why you're so excited to be doing Youth for Justice, and a little bit about our program tonight, which is Raising Activists and Change Makers.
I'm excited about both of these things and to get to talk about them for the next hour. So I'm jumping in with Youth for Justice, one, because I'm an educator, so I work with young people all day and I get to hear what they think. I'm in a wonderful field of sociology, so we talk a lot about social problems, and guess what? There's a whole lot of them. So I'm very excited to be involved and to be sharing stories with you guys and teaming up with Bill here to bring you guys some unique voices, some unique ideas, and get you guys as excited as we are about some of the important and powerful things that young people are doing in our world. And tonight, I'm really excited to bring kind of together this this idea that at first seemed a little nebular, it seemed a little out there, a little philosophical. But tonight we're going to be talking about raising the next generation of change makers, like Bill said. And I kind of got this idea initially from two places. One, there's always this phrase that has hung in my brain of the revolution starts at home. Activism starts at home. And when I think of home, I think of kids and parents, right? As you know, it seems kind of natural to go that route. So piecing that with, okay, well, what can we talk about on the air with that? I started thinking about, one, where do our activists and our change makers, where do they start? They usually start as young people. And a lot of times those young people go on to be adult people and then end up having kids and having young people in their household all over again. And what does that future look like for them? So this idea of activists and change makers raising the next generation is kind of where this came about. The other piece that kind of fell in here, I was actually listening to a little bit about Mr. Rogers, and you think about who talks to young people, you know, probably some of the first ideas and the first, you know, real present voice, a lot of young people, especially my generation. I don't know about your generation, Bill, but Mr. Rogers, you know, talking to kids.
Yeah. I was about 10, 9 or 10, yeah.
Yeah, I remember being a youngster and seeing this nice guy in the red sweater. And his idea was very much to start a dialogue with kids and don't discredit what they can and can't comprehend. And I was listening to a little excerpt of Mr. Rogers when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. And that was a very heavy topic of the time. It was a very heavy social atmosphere and the basis of a lot of conversation in homes and in the workplace and things like that. And the topic of assassination was something that Mr. Rogers dealt with on his show, recognizing that kids are hearing this word and hearing this topic be brought up in conversation, but not getting it's the story. Do you need to interrupt me?
I'm waving at a youth out there that's going to be on the air. She's four. She'll be our youngest guest so far.
Oh, that's going to be super cool. And that was Mr. Rogers' target audience,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was beautiful. Yeah.
So that's kind of where this came about for me anyways, was looking at how, you know, we have heavy topics in the world, and a lot of times young people aren't getting the full picture of that. And, you know, we don't obviously want to have to talk about things like assassination with our young children. But there's also, I noticed, a difference in the conversation when we have activist parents and justice-oriented parents and what the conversation at home looks like. So I got curious, well, what does that conversation look like? So tonight we have three interviews that I've pieced together. And one of them is Johnny Meehan from the 6th Street Drop-In Center. We have Sabrina, a good friend of mine, here in the studio with her two girls. She's a union organizer. And then we have Josh and Robin. They're involved in just about everything.
They are. Eve of Destruction, Monday night, Monday afternoon show. Josh Endar, shut up.
And then Josh is actually going to be coming in and chiming in with us a little bit here and there in the future, too, from what I gather.
Yes, he is. Josh is one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
I have a lot of favorite people, but Josh is on that list.
Yeah, I would add him to mine as well. So what do you want to do, Bill? You want to play some tunes first?
What I'm going to do is just kind of tell you, you know, what's really, really cool is I just buzzed this woman in, Tamara Wickman, who does Love in the 21st Century, and she was going to be on my show about a different topic, doesn't matter what that topic was. But as soon as I found out from Alex, she's like raising activists and change makers, I'm like, my gosh, we want to get Tamara and her mom. I've met her mom, Denise, once. And Tamara Wickman actually was the past director of the Peace and Justice Center, a major activist in the community. She's had a radio show here, Love in the 21st Century, for a couple of years, and Live True. She's run a couple of nonprofits, but she's just an amazing person out there doing the work, man. So it's going to be really cool because we're going to have people, young people that are growing up now, and we'll have one guest in the house that's with her mom. Kind of, here's my 31-year-old beautiful, beautiful girl right here. Then we're going to end the show with a really cool thing. I'm really looking forward to it. I think we got 5 different youth, 12 to like 16, that are involved with the MLK Unity event that's coming up at the Trinity Methodist Church on MLK Day, or it's Sunday of MLK Day, the Sunday before. And they're going to end the show, and they're going to be talking about, you know, what involvement they have. These youth are coming on because they're actually helping to do things. They're activists. And then we're going to ask them, you know, what they're most joyful about being involved in that. So you've got all this coming. And then this is not a small thing for me either, Alex, because I love Green Day. It was one of my kids' favorite bands growing up. And they just came out with a new album, man.
Oh, man, yeah. I think Dookie, their record was, I think, the first CD or tape. I think tape I ever bought myself.
Really?
So this hit some roots for me, too.
So I got all the bumper music today is off of the fall release, last fall, of Green Day Revolution Radio. And this first one is the title cut here on People Powered Radio.
Your eyes up in the sky, like you want to testify for the life that's been delayed. All right, guys, I'm here with Josh and Robin. Say hello, Josh and Robin.
Hi.
Hi, this is Josh.
So before we get started, would you guys each mind telling us a little bit about yourselves and what you do in our community?
I am 44 years old. I work in education. I've also been a journalist in my past career life. And now, and I'm also a musician and a dad.
Hi, I'm Robin, and we have two kids together, and I do art. I'm also juggling like a clerical job, so I sort of have those two jobs, and I'm also a bass player and singer in a band.
You know, I don't think that we're like super involved politically. A lot of what I have done is to try to like live the values of social justice through what I do for work and what I do for my volunteer and through my art and music and writing. I mean, it's kind of, that's what it's kind of about for me, is kind of just like setting up my life so that it's in accordance with those values.
If there is a political protest, we have no problem getting involved with that, but in general, it's just trying to instill good values and represent.
And I don't think of us as really activists at all. I think that we're about as engaged as every American should be, because this is a democracy, and that's just your responsibility. That's just what you have to do if you want to, number one, have any political power yourself, and number two, to just, you know, guide society to where it's going to have the best outcomes for everybody. And now, as being a parent, you do think about what's the future look like for your kids. And for a lot of people, you know, they don't really think about that in political terms. But I've been thinking in political terms since I was a really little kid. And then getting involved in punk rock really just kind of cemented that. It kind of became a lifelong thing. But like I was saying, like I don't think of us as activists. I think of us as just engaged Americans.
My name's Johnny. I work as a social worker at the 6th Street Center for Youth. We provide basic needs such as shower, clothing, food. We also provide case management, which would be looking at assistance with public benefits or employment. We also have clinical services, licensed clinicians who help with mental health issues. It's a fun place to work. And also, I play music in bands, and I'm also a father.
So how did you get involved in wanting to be a social worker? What brought you to that career path?
I'm pretty sure it happened as a kid growing up. I grew up in a home, and there was a lot of different characters who were in and out of like mental health hospitals for long-term stays, and also a lot of substance abuse, and also just like reoccurring themes of homelessness, like people couch surfing or sleeping in tents in the backyard. So a few years ago, when I was a case manager at the local shelter, I had this realization where it's like a lot of the ongoing themes I work with are really familiar to me because it's part of what I grew up with.
I am here with my friend Sabrina. Say hi, Sabrina.
Hi.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do?
I am a labor organizer. Also, I represent people. So pretty much what that is that if you have a union, I work for the union. And what I do is that I work with the workers to identify issues that they care about, whether that's wages, benefits, working conditions, boss who's a jerk, and help to think of ways to build force and power at the workplace to put pressure on the employer to be able to achieve those goals. And also just working with the membership to develop a structure such as a stewardship, leaders, communication, so that pretty much it's the members, the rank and file, who are in control of their union. And I'm just a resource to help that.
And you are also a mom.
Yeah.
So you have two awesome little girls.
Yeah, Sophia and Ava.
Cool. And how old are they?
They are now 6 and 5.
You want to tell us a little bit about how you kind of came to this very social justice-oriented career path?
Yeah, so as long as I can remember, since I was a kid, I wanted to help people, do activist work. Then when I went to college, I moved up here to Chico, and I wanted to get involved in the local community. I heard about Food Not Bombs, and I found out where their house was, which was the old broken glass house.
Oh, wow.
And I knocked on the door, and my friend, who's now my friend Shiloh, who I never met before, opened it. And I was like, I heard that people at Food Not Bombs lives here. But she told me about some event that was happening and where they would be that night. So I just went, and I said, I want to get involved. And they told me when they do it and when to come to the house to help cook. And so that's how I got started in this town.
Oh, there we are. Hello, hello. Okay, so that was a little intro. I thought it'd be good to get to know who's talking tonight. So we had, like I said, Johnny from the 6th Street Drop-In Center. He's a caseworker. We had Josh and Robin, who Robin is a local artist and a bass player. And Josh is a gentleman of many hats. He's a host here. He's a writer. He works in education, and he also plays in a band. And for those of you who maybe are not familiar with the DIY scene or punk rock or things like that, and go, okay, well, you know, what does being in a band have to do with activism? We see a lot of young people playing music, creating scenes and places where they can express themselves, share ideas, and also create safe space for everyone, people who might not feel safe in other communities and other settings. The punk rock community has especially in this town, made great strides to offer sanctuary and offer a welcoming and special place for people to be creative. So that's kind of where some of the activist aspect of that comes in. And you know, as Josh and Robin and Johnny and Sabrina all explained, they all got into their activism and their involvement with social justice at an early age. Speaking of early ages, Sabrina is here in the studio with her two little girls. Would you guys all like to say hi?
Hola.
Hi. It does mean hello in Spanish. That was pretty good. So do you guys want to tell us how old you are? I think you guys might be like the youngest people we've ever had on this show.
Ava can go first.
Do you want to say hi?
I don't. Hi.
How old are you, Ava?
You're five.
You're five, yeah. And how about you, Sophia?
60.
6 years old. Cool. So this is going to be pretty neat tonight. So we have Sabrina and her two girls, like we talked about at the start of the show, if those of you just tuning in, and her two young girls. And then we are going to have another guest here with her mother, who is an adult. So we have kind of the early stages of becoming a young change maker, and then the adult growing into that stage. So I thought it would be fun. Sabrina, you are a union organizer, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. We talked about this in the interview, but I thought this might be kind of a better dialogue in the studio and with the girls here. Do you guys talk about the work that you do?
A bit. Like, I think it's hard to explain because they're so young. I think what I try to say is that I help people if they get in trouble, and it's not fair, and I pretty much just try to help people at their work. And I think that's the best that I can do. I did recently buy them a book called Si Se Puede about the janitor strike, and it's a children's book.
Awesome.
So I'm hoping we can get into that.
That's exciting.
It's new.
That's going to be cool.
Some never saw that.
New reading. So, girls, do you guys kind of understand what your mom does, how she helps people?
No.
Her doesn't really talk about it with us.
But
I do know something.
What do you know about she does?
Well, her helps people don't lose their jobs.
And that's really important.
Helps people to them jobs.
Yeah, it's really important. This is important work, and we're grateful for the work that Sabrina and others like her do. You know, and you guys aren't working yet. Not yet. You guys got some more fun time in school.
I work a lot. I read the kindergarten.
Yeah, kindergarten is a lot of work. I will give you that.
I can work out.
It's a really lot
I can
of work.
Heal water, and I can work out something.
That's good. Well, how about you guys tell me, since you guys, we were just having, while the intro was playing, we were having a really great conversation about space.
I love space! I watch everything. We watch documentaries about it.
Yeah, and documentaries are really important.
I watch lots of them. Them are cool.
Yeah, I like TV shows that make it smart.
Yeah, we can learn a lot about space and about science and about how to help people watching documentaries.
Kids want a lot of...
You guys
do
learn a lot.
My daddy's a teacher, and he learns about space.
That's cool.
My teacher.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
Okay.
I love speaking.
And that's important.
I speak all the time.
That's a good thing to have your voice at such a young age. What do you guys want to do when you get older to help people?
I want to, when the black hole's trying to get to Earth, I will throw a bomb and say it will explode.
So you want to help people be safe from things like maybe in space and use science and what you know to try to help people?
And an astronaut will hit people. I will throw a bomb to it and explode and you'll see shooting stars and people will make lots of wishes and I hope one's a safe one.
Well, I think it's going to be important work that you're going to do here. We need our scientists. We need our people to help keep us safe. And
people, I can do it better.
And I think it's important, like what you're saying about making wishes and helping people have lots of wishes. I think that's really cool. I want us to get into another segment with Sabrina. We were talking, kind of having, I like this dialogue in the studio here. We were talking about and what dialogue we have at home and what bringing values of, say, activist-oriented careers and things like that. What bringing that into your parenting looks like. So I'm going to pull that up here. And we'll see what Sabrina and I talked about.
And is there any other stuff that you talk about with the girls in terms of, you know, social climate, you know, kind of what's going on in the world? Do you guys have those conversations?
We do, but... you know, when it comes up, a lot of it may be like, you know, in Chico, they will be walking or driving the car and they'll see a homeless person asking for money and trying to have the conversation of why, what's happening that people are in that situation. The fact that people do struggle. We talk about that.
How do you work to try to instill some of those values in your girls?
So, for my kids, I've always felt really strongly that they're their own people, but I want to raise good people, right? Whatever they want to do in their lives, they don't necessarily have to make a career out of being an activist, but I want them to identify that there aren't things that are right, right? There are people who, not because it's their fault or anything, are really hurting and suffering. And if we have the ability to do something about it, we should do something about it.
So focusing on some optimism and hopefulness. No 6-year-old cynics just yet.
Yeah. And also, like, I want them to know that it's hard work, right? I think that sometimes people get discouraged if they don't see immediate change when they're doing something. It's like, that's not how it works, mm-hmm. right? But, like, the kids have been with me making picket signs, right? And they'll pretend to be at the picket line marching with their picket signs, and it's great. Like, I want them to know, right? But it's also fun, and it's also great, and it's rewarding.
All right. I think that that's really important to acknowledge how rewarding activist work and how rewarding getting out there and helping people can be. The next part, kind of piggybacking off of what Sabrina and I were talking about, was another conversation I had with Josh and Robin, kind of about a similar idea, how we have these conversations, what this dialogue looks like.
So you ready for Sabrina, Sabrina, Sabrina?
Oh, no, we already had Sabrina, Sabrina, Sabrina. Yeah. We are going into Josh and Robin.
Now, you had Josh and Robin. I was listening to them.
No, we just played Sabrina.
All right, here we go. Josh and Robin here on KZFR, People Power Radio.
You know, you both talk about living values and you know, especially pulling from, you know, a lifetime in punk rock and being future-minded and things like that. How does that factor into your parenting?
Well, we don't push anything on our kids, but we do talk politically in the presence of our kids. And when things come up and come to our attention about, like, the current political climate, we do want to let them in on some things and remind them to be good to others, to stand up for others. And our son has transgender friends and gender-bending friends. And I had to, you know, sort of remind him, just so you know, there are people that really get offended by just getting outside of the norm of your gender, and you're going to have to stand up for them, and or at least stand next to them and be with them to and let them know that you're on their side and you're not going to tolerate bigotry.
It's kind of scary. You don't want to tell your kid to go get in a fight or anything, but obviously if someone is being racist at your school, I feel like you have to call them out or you have to tell a teacher or something like that. So we've had those discussions with both our kids, and they're 12 and 15 right now, and it's sad that we have to have that discussion with them, but we felt like we did. Well, I remember we went to a demonstration or whatever it was. It was a few years ago, and our son, who's now 15, was a lot younger, and it was against Prop 8 that was like an anti-LGBTQ
law. Yeah, it was
law.
The Pride, Chico Pride.
And one of the things that really kind of made the connection was that, you know, his grandma is a lesbian, and so he was holding a sign that said, "Grandma's gay, and that's okay." And that was probably his very first sort of entry into anything political. And I don't know, I'm sure that he knew what the sign meant. I don't know that he knew, like, how much opposition there is to that in the rest of the world, at least, or the rest of America, because we do kind of live in a bit of a bubble. And like you were saying before, sometimes we have to let them in on the fact that not everyone is like us and that there's a backlash to stuff like that.
Have they had any, like, instances of coming home upset because they've seen some kind of injustice? Or, yeah, this isn't the norm in every household?
I would say, thankfully, not very often. And the few times that there has been some upset, it's mostly online fighting and mm-hmm. bullying mm-hmm. by teens on Instagram or Facebook. And it's a little confusing for our oldest because he is white-skinned, and there's a lot of
I don't know which direction the backlash, but kill all white men is a common thing. Mm. And we have to sort of explain. I remember when Black Lives Matter first happened, he was confused by the wording, and it's really just semantics. He didn't understand, like, why All Lives Matter was problematic. Mm-hmm. And I've had the same discussion with adults. They don't understand why don't all lives matter? That's racist. And no, it's saying Black Lives Matter too. And that, you know, some authoritarians don't understand that Black lives do matter, in fact.
There's a lot of people out there that are very fearful about what their kids might come home having and asking questions. And I personally don't understand that. I love it when my kids ask questions, even when they catch them in terms that it's like, whoa, that's what you think? You know, I think that is a great moment for teaching and for listening and for just really like letting them know my point of view and I love the feedback. I mean, I want to know they're so helpful in telling me what's going on in the world, because kids, especially teenagers, I think, like they're right at the vanguard of popular culture. And if you don't listen to them, you kind of don't know what's going on. Can we just be honest about our history in this country and teach that to kids? Can we be honest about the racism in this country? Because if not, then all we're doing is just, we're just living in this fantasy. And it's not getting anyone anywhere.
Well, I love that my kids are teaching me. Like, my oldest, he came home from school and had all this new information about genders that I'd never heard of. And I considered myself, with a lesbian mother and all the feminist upbringing, that I was aware of things. And he said, well, so-and-so is non-binary. And I was like, what's that? And so he educated me. Well, they use they for their pronoun. And I'm like, whoa, pronouns are changing. What's happening? And so that was really cool.
All right, there. That was a wonderful piece you put together there, Alex.
Thanks.
Kokonakis. I'm really, really wonderful. I just want to introduce Tamara Wickman from Love in the 21st Century. I'd mentioned before, she's past director of Peace and Justice Center and radio host here. What else we need to know about your activist life, Tamara Wickman?
Hello. Thanks for having me and my mom.
Pleasure.
I'm so excited because this is my mom's first time being on the radio, and it's
Woo-hoo!
So cool. I've, you know, been hosted a show here for a few years, and before I did Love in the 21st Century, I hosted The Point Is, a political talk show with Sue Hildebrand. And yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest thing that you should know about my past activist career is that I don't really consider it activism. It's kind of funny. I remember having many conversations with folks when I first went into the directorship at the Chico Peace and Justice Center, and they were like, you're an activist. And I was like, I'm an advocate. And they're like, no, you're an activist. And I was like, I'm an advocate. Like, and they're like, oh, semantics, you know, it's like the same thing. And I was like, no, I think that activists usually stand up and fight for things, and advocates stand up and speak for people's rights and speak up for people's needs. And so I just guess I want to make that call that difference, you know. And we're all working for the common good, and we're all doing good stuff, but I think that in my heart it's about finding compassion for one another, for animals, for this earth, and that's really where all of my work comes from, more than the typical coined term of activist.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, with Tamara. And Denise. Denise is Tamara's mom. Welcome to KZFR Studio, Denise.
Thank you.
And what do we need to know about Denise, other than you're the lovely mom and woman of Tamara Wickman here?
Well, what can I say about myself? I come in from Costa Rica. My first language is Spanish. And I've been here for almost 40 years. And I've been a jack of all trades. Finally, I am a nurse. But I'm a seamstress. I'm a gardener. A posterer. A little bit of everything.
That sounds a lot like Tamara, I think. Right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Like mother, like daughter, right? Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, what they say.
So maybe I'll start with you, Tamara. I had just two prompt questions, and we can work off that. But Tamara, Help our listeners to understand the importance of your mom's influence and upbringing on your adult life as a passionate and compassionate advocate for our community.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's vast. How has my mom influenced my adulthood? I mean, in every way, shape, and form, right? I mean, our parents are such the biggest role model of who we end up becoming. And it's so interesting because as a child in the home, you don't really think about your parents' public role. You think of your parents like your parents are the end-all, be-all of your world inside your house. And so you sort of see your parents in this idealistic way, and you see them in, like, this charismatic, full-force sort of way. And so I say that because my mom is sort of more of a reserved person when you meet her. But in the house, it's not the way I see my mom as a strong, powerful woman. And that, what of course, led me to be a strong, powerful woman. I ask for what I need. I expect to get what I want. And I expect to work for what I want as well. And so my mom was always working. She worked three jobs to support my brothers and I. My father, who has had Parkinson's my entire life, she was there supporting us, making sure that there was food on the table and that we never went without what we wanted. And doing it, with an air of positivity. My mom was always like, if something is happening that you don't, want to be focusing on, then don't focus on it. Focus on what you do have control over and have a positive attitude and do what you can, to make things better for yourself. And so that really shaped my own perspective of taking control of the circumstances I had, not feeling so like bogged down by, maybe not having the friends that I wanted or not having the stuff that I wanted or getting the grades that I could get, but really helping me to strive to do whatever I could possibly do. And that was, underlying everything is that she always told me, you can do anything you want to do. And I mean, and truly meant it. Like, I don't know how many people had that in a parent that truly told me, you can do anything, and didn't put a limit on my ability or a limit on my own skill. And how empowering that was to be like, wow, really? I can do anything? Yeah. Like anything? It's pretty amazing to have a parent that's so supportive.
All right. Thank you for that, Tamara. And Denise, tell our listeners a bit about Tamara as a child, and did she have an advocate bent even back then?
Well, she always been very active, I can tell you that. First time that we went to the ocean, I can see it. She was about 3 or 4 years old, and she's walking, we all walking together. All of a sudden, she saw a family together. Oh, yeah, my name is Tammy. This is my mother. This is my father. This is my brother. She always just going all the time. And always when a party and she always want to go and be involved in the neighborhood. And always ask me, Mama, can we do this? Can we do that? Can you buy that for them? So she always trying to encourage me or to give something to.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And
I just want to add, I guess, is that my mom was, she worked at a convalescent home when I grew up. And so, like, I would go on the weekends. That was, like, the fun thing for me to do is I, like, go hang out at the convalescent home with my mom. And, like, my friends were, like, all, like, 80, 90 plus. And I just get really excited to hang out with these people and go on walks with them and be able to read books with them. And, like, my mom really encouraged me to do that. Like, there was also elderly folks that lived in our neighborhood that they just really encouraged me to, like, spend time and to pay attention to other people that were in need more so than just putting what my needs were first. And so I think that was a big role model. Like, that's what my mom's always done my whole life, is helping care for other people. So of course that was modeling to me that putting people's needs in front of our own can be a really self-gratifying experience.
Now, Denise, was your home life similar? Was your parents, people that were encouraging and being so hopeful, saying you can do anything? Is that the environment you grew up in?
Yeah, my mother always used to tell me, say, you can do anything, just make sure to study. Study where you can go places.
I'd like to extend that question to Sabrina as well. Was your upbringing kind of activist-oriented, or was that common in your house growing up?
Neither of my parents were activists, but my dad very much raised in me that, because he's very Catholic and we grew up very Catholic, that if you have the opportunity to give back, if you're blessed enough, that it's almost like you have to. It's your responsibility to be a part of the community to help out. And that's, I think, just the thing, how I was kind of raised and led me to want to do something to make the world better.
Sure, sure. And I want to pick up on one thing that we had in the pre-record that Robin mentioned was an instance where, you know, we talk about learning from our parents and picking up on these ideas of social justice and ideas about what we as a member of the world and of society are obligated to do or feel compelled to do. But to either Denise or Sabrina, do you have an instance or maybe an idea that you have picked up from your children about activism or social justice or acting in the world in a certain way, something that maybe you have learned from your kids?
Well, I learned from Tammy that helping others, you're always trying to see Denise and other people and encourage me. So that's why I admire her. They're always looking for other people.
That's great.
I think what my kids have done is that they've made everything more real for me. When I think about the future, I think about them inheriting it. When I think about the labor movement, I think about them becoming workers. When I think about my members who have struggles coming to meetings with their kids, I relate to it so much more than I did before. They've just made everything seem like real, more than it was ever. Like, I feel it.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool, guys.
I just wanted to echo something about the being Catholic, because my family is also Catholic, and so just seeing that similarity that, you know, those were strong values that were held in our house, and definitely in the ways that you conduct yourself with other people and giving back. And so that's a big thing that I wanted to mention. I heard you say.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to we're getting ready to transition here. So either Tamara or Denise, do you have like some closing comments around, you know, growing up in such a wonderful family that you two have been blessed with?
I just want to say how grateful I am and how fortunate I feel. You know, I sometimes just stop in my day and I think, wow, like, I am so blessed. I'm so blessed not only to be, like, living a life in the United States, which I know a lot of people can go here and there about, but how many rights that I do have, and to have a family that's so supportive and so believing in me, because I'm so surrounded by people that, like, that don't have that, that don't have both their parents that are just, you know, giving them a hard time to challenge them to be stronger people, but also just really supporting them and believing in them. Like, at the end of the day, like, I know that my parents truly believe in me, and that whatever I came to them with, that they would be there to empower me. And so if anything, and the work that I do, and I do and work at the Disability Action Center now, and I work with adults that have traumatic brain injuries, the biggest thing that I feel like I can give people is to empower them, to help have them believe that they are capable, because I feel like that is the most powerful gift that my parents have given me, that I can do and serve the world in the ways that I believe I can.
Yeah, I see that every time I see you, Tamara. I bear witness to that. Anything else, Denise?
I can agree with all she said. It's great.
Well, I'd like to thank all of our studio guests here that have come in. And we're going to be going to your maybe a little intro on your little words of wisdom here that's going to take us into the final segment.
Sure, Alex. Sure. So this last bit, we again have Johnny, Sabrina, Josh, and Robin. I asked them for some words of wisdom, both for parents who are raising our future change makers and activists in the world, but also for other activists and change makers out there, people who are hoping to do similar things, make change in the world, as well as people who are raising those future change makers. So with this is their words of wisdom. Before we play this, I'm getting a little sentimental. My mom is listening tonight. So hi, Mom, and thank you for all of your wisdom in this. So let's roll it.
Thank you, everyone, listening to People Power Radio.
wisdom for the next generation of parents trying to do right and raise aware kids, or the next generation of people trying to, like, make change, make their world a better place?
I would say not to be worried about your kid not being able to handle stuff. I have sometimes second-guessed, like, whether I'm going to overwhelm them with doom and gloom. And so there is that. You don't, you know, it's hard to be a teenager and stressful socially. So it's also good to remember, hey, let's also remind them there's great things, and what are we fighting for? You know, we want clean air and water and happiness and family and love and peace. So remind them that that's out there. But also don't think because they're really little, you know, 6, 7, and 8, that they don't understand death, or they don't understand hurt, or should we talk about sexism, or what it means to be gay, for example. So kids can understand a lot more than you think, and aren't as offended, and are usually open to new things.
Yeah, give them some credit. You have to raise your kids to not just inhabit the world that you're in, but to create the world that is to come. And I remember being very conflicted about how to raise kids when we first had them, because the world is a messed up place, and there's an instinct to go into a defensive mode and teach them to be you know, tough and hard and to go after objectives. And but I think I realized, like, that's not the kind of world that I want them to live in, and I don't want them to always have to be in that kind of a state. And I think that with the world the way it is now, we have just installed someone as president who thrives on bigotry, who is a misogynist, who you know, I mean, we could go on and on. The guy is a nightmare as a person, and so if that is the sort of, if that's who we're going to look up to in society, and that's what society is saying is going to be valued, then the greatest rebellious act that you could do at this point is to be a kind and good and decent person. And that's the kids that we're trying to raise, is kids with values, kids that treat each other with decency, and kids that that are just good people. So if you can raise good people, then you're already doing some good for the world. And you can let them figure out the politics for themselves.
Maybe say somebody going into that type of career or wanting to address some of the problems that you try to?
Specifically social work and, like, the homeless community?
Yeah.
I would just hope that people are having conversations about what may work and what may not work for different communities, because every community is similar but also different, and also that people get involved in their communities, whether it's musical or political or volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are, I wouldn't be where I'm at if I hadn't volunteered at the Sixth Street Center when I was going to school. That's how I kind of also got involved in social work. It's just kind of seeing different layers of the community, different sides of the community.
Putting yourself out there for an opportunity.
Yeah, feeling awkward, having those encounters. Like, I volunteered in an old folks home, and it was, like, definitely, I really didn't like it, but I learned a lot, you know what I mean? Like,
do you have any words of wisdom to fellow parents out there who are, you know, hopeful to introduce kind of some of the values of social justice and social-oriented work to their kids? Like, any parent-to-parent suggestion of how to maybe address some of those issues or bring those things into the children's conversation?
Just that people talk to their kids like they're people, because they are people. I think a lot of parents, unfortunately, talk to their kids like they're below them or that they're not understanding. And I think children understand a lot more than adults a lot of the time. So it's just really important to respect anybody you're talking to, even if they don't merit your respect. You know, at least kind of having that respectful tone, and even if it's your kid, you know, just kind of just having an honest conversation, honesty and respect, you know, which sounds kind of weird if you're talking to like your 4-year-old and you're like, you know, it's something that you wouldn't necessarily think about, but I think it's worth the effort.
Man, Alex's husband put that together, man. He did a great job. Tell him I said that. If he's not listening, he did a great job on that.
He's not my husband yet.
Oh, sorry. See? Fact-checking. You know, fact-checking. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
But thank you. Thank you just the same out there, Josh, for putting this together for us and helping me make it sound pretty.
Youth for Justice made possible with generous contributions, KZR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Arttoberfest, Chico Palo, True Notora, Silent Film Festival, NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org and buy Mountain Mike's Pizza. We love that place. Serving up thick and thin style pizzas, oven-baked sandwiches, and salad bar. Mountain Mike's offers takeout and delivery at 4 locations in Chico at 1722 Mangrove and West 5th and Walnut. Also in Paradise at 6626 Clark Road and in Orville inside the Big Lots Shopping Center on Oro Dam Boulevard. With no further ado, it's really, really fun for us. We've got 5 young people. I think their ages is like 12, 6. We got 6. Look at this. There's more coming. There's more coming as we speak. But we're going to do a thing here. We're just going to ask the youth to introduce themselves. And every one of these young folks are involved in the MLK Unity event that happens the Sunday before MLK Day. And I think we're going to start with this young man right here. So why don't you introduce yourself to KZFR and tell us a bit about this event and why you're so joyful about being involved in it.
Hello, my name is Alejandro Law, and I'm part of the Trinity United Methodist Church Youth Group, so typically we'll make banners, signs, and just generally help out and lead the procession during the events.
Great.
All right, People Power Radio just buzzed in. The next show. And actually, what happened to the dream, the first urgency of now, is the theme for this year, Celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King, Sunday, January 15th, 2017. This is a free family event, 2:30 p.m. rally at the Chico City Plaza, 4 p.m. program, music, and community dinner. Once again, it's Trinity Methodist Church, 5th and Flume, keynote speaker, Dr. Nandi Sojourner Crosby. And who's next? Who's next? Jump on in there, tell us your name, and then tell us what you're doing for the event and how joyful you are about that.
Hi, I'm Emily, and I've been with the youth group for a really long time, and like Alex said, we make posters, and during the march, we also hold the posters at the front of the line, and I really like how everyone from the community comes together, and there's nice music during the event, and it's really fun.
How many years you been involved, Emily? No.
Since I was really, a small baby.
So small you don't remember how long ago. Yeah. That's really, and you're 13? Is that a good guess?
I'm 15.
15. It's so wonderful. Thank you for your coming on. Who's next? Raise your hands. That's how we can do it. Look at that. Going once, going twice. Open mic. This is like an open mic night at KZFR.
My name is Sophie Thomas. I have been with the youth group for 9 years.
What brings you joy about that youth group and being involved with the MLK Unity event that's coming up?
Like Emily said, I love how it brings people together. People come out of town. They, you know, we learn about Martin Luther King. We, let's see, we remember the people who have lost their lives. And I just love how everybody comes together. It's a fun event. You guys should come on down.
And you've been involved, if I remember, in the studio green room, 9 years, was it?
Yeah.
9 years. Thank you for doing that. It's wonderful. This will be my fourth year going, and it's a beautiful, beautiful event. You don't want to miss it. And there's a free dinner, too, you know? Mm-hmm. So you don't need more incentive than that. So I think we've heard from three of the youth. Three minus six, or six minus three is three. Got three left. Who's next?
Hi, my name's Elliot, and I'm 13. And I've been involved in a youth group, or an event, for 13 years.
You've been involved since you were, like, pretty much born?
Yeah.
Wow. What did you do some of the other years, Elliot, real quick, if you could tell, you know, some of the things you've done over the years?
Well, I mainly just watch, but now that I'm in the youth group, I make the posters. Well, I help make posters and then march with them.
So you're going to do the march from Chico Plaza down to the church?
Yeah.
And that's the posters you guys are making. So you're going to be at, that's the kind of parade we're talking about when you come, Chico,
yes.
From Chico Plaza down to Trinity?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wicked. That's really beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Dina's helping with the mics. Thank you, Dina. She's coming on next. What show are we doing next, Dina? This is Beatle Nation. I feel silly that I even asked that. It's one of my favorite shows on KZFR. Beatle Nation folks are in the house. We got two more folks left that haven't spoke. Wonderful.
Hello, my name is Rosalie. I am 17 years old, and this is my ninth year participating in the march. My sister and I were adopted from Haiti, so moving to a country where discrimination is a big part of its history wasn't very easy. The MLK March is an event where I get to express myself. I think that it is amazing that people come from all over to participate in this march and carry out his dream.
So what brings you the most joy, if you could nail it down to one thing, maybe two, about being involved?
What brings me the most joy would be seeing people put aside their differences to come together for this event. And I love how at the beginning of the march, sometimes there's not as many people who come. But then as we march the parade, it gets really, really big. And I think that's amazing that people take the time out of their day to march with us.
And you have a really joyful look on your face just talking about it. So you want to get down to this MLK event. And that's going to be Sunday, January 15th, 2017. That's this year. It's a free family event. The PM rally is 2:30 at Chico City Plaza. 4 p.m. program, music, and community dinner. And that's at Trinity Methodist Church. Keynote speaker, Dr. Nandy Sojourner Crosby. I think we have one more left, and that's Lupita. Lupita?
Lucinda.
I was close. Lucinda, thank you for coming on. And what did you have to say to close us out here?
Just convince you guys to come and join us, because this event really does bring our community close together with love and empowering everybody. I've been with this. Well, I mean, I've been going to this church since I was 2 months old, but I've been part of this event since I was 7. And we would appreciate everybody to come and share this event with us.
Yeah, I would go stronger, because the theme, again, is what happened to the dream, the fierce urgency of now. There's an urgency to be there. And I really believe that, other than the fact it's a wonderful event. You know, the more people that are there, the more people that are sharing in the community. Any words to end our show in there, Alex?
I'm so excited to see all these exuberant, smiling faces, so enthusiastic and involved, and this is normal. This is normal part of childhood, you know? This is great. I love that.
I have to ask one question, because you did Teen Talk, and you'd be on the other side, right?
I did.
So how does it feel being on this side, talking to younger folks?
Well, weird, because I still feel like I'm 17 and hosting a radio show, so it's, I guess... That habit doesn't quit.
Don't ever lose that. And that's how we're going to end the show. And we're going to do a quick little bumper song, Green Day, Ordinary World, here on People Powered Radio.